بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, tonight we commenced with the 19th juz, continuing with Surah Al-Furqan. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights in the opening few verses of the 19th juz the importance of keeping good company. This is generally something that we encourage our youth, our youngsters, that they should keep good company. If they keep bad company, then they will pick up evil habits, they will lose focus in life, they will not achieve their goals and objectives in life. But ulama explained that this command of keeping good company, associating with the righteous, with the pious, this is something that is not restricted to the youth, but this is something that continues. Even as a person becomes an adult or reaches old age, a person is still required to remain in good company, because a mu'min still has a goal and objective, and that is to reach the akhirat, to reach the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the incident of Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayt, who was from Makkah Mukarrama. He was a disbeliever, he was a mushrik, and on one occasion he had prepared a meal, and his intention was to invite the ashraf, the leaders of the community, the noblemen. Amongst them, of course, was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Despite him opposing the Quraysh, as far as their deen was concerned, he was still regarded as a nobleman, as a person of high stature in the community. So he extends an invite to Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam as well. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees an opportunity. So he says to him, "O Uqba, I will only accept your invitation and come and partake of your food if you recite the kalima and accept Islam. If you don't do this, then I won't accept your invitation, I won't come." Uqba thought to himself that the disgrace I will face if Nabi alayhi salam is not present at my function. The people will say that Uqba had a meal and he called all the noblemen, but one person didn't want to come, he didn't attend that particular gathering. So therefore he recited the kalima and outwardly he accepted Islam. And Nabi alayhi salam then agreed to attend this function. Later on, Ubay bin Khalaf, who was a friend of Uqba, and Ubay bin Khalaf was one of the arch enemies of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, very hostile towards him and the Muslims. He was the brother of Umayyah bin Khalaf, who was the master of Bilal radiallahu anhu, and we have heard the incidents before, how Umayyah bin Khalaf would persecute and would harm Bilal radiallahu anhu. Ubay bin Khalaf was his brother, and he was equally, if not more, hostile towards the Muslims. So he comes to Uqba, and they were very close friends. He says to him that, "How dare you go against the religion of your forefathers, and how dare you accept Islam and recite the kalima upon the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?" So Uqba says to him that, "Listen, I was not serious. I just did this so that he can come and attend our function." But Ubay bin Khalaf says to him that, "Listen, you have made a grave error, a mistake. And for you to undo this now, to prove to me that you are loyal to the deen of your forefathers, you must now go back to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you spit in his face, wal-iyadu billah, and you tell him clearly that you are renouncing his religion and you are going to remain upon the religion of your forefathers." Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayt, because of this peer pressure from his friend, he goes, the wretched person goes now to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and he does this upon the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and like this he then maintains his friendship with Ubay bin Khalaf. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the condition of Uqba on the day of Qiyamah. وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ. Allah says that the zalim, the oppressive person, will bite upon his hands. This is an expression to show a person's extreme remorse and regret. يَقُولُ, and he will say, يَا لَيْتَنِ اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا. If only I had followed the path of the messenger. يَا وَيْلَتَا, destruction be to me. لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخِذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا. If only I did not take so and so as my close friend. In other words, I wish I had left Ubay on one side and I had taken the path of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, because this friend of mine, لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي. He misled me. He took me away from that which was correct after the truth had come to me. وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِلْإِنسَانِ خَذُولًا. Allah says, Shaytan will forsake insan. He will promise a person that this is good for you to disobey Allah, for you to go against the commands of Allah, to abandon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But ultimately on the day of Qiyamah, when a person now sees the result of his actions, Shaytan will forsake him. He will run away and he will not have anything to do with this person. So this will be the condition of Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayt. His friend Ubay bin Khalaf, although this is not mentioned here, but very interesting to see how Ubay bin Khalaf met his end. On one occasion he mentioned to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that I have a horse that I have been rearing from small, from young, and I feed it the best of food, and I'm going to strengthen this horse, and one day when it is an adult, I will ride this horse, and while I'm on the back of this horse, I will kill you. So he says this to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam says to him, oh, enemy of Allah, I will be the one who will take your life. When he heard this, he went into a frenzy, panic. Because even though he was a disbeliever, but deep down he understood the words of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam were true. On the occasion of the battle of Uhud, he goes looking for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and he says to his companions, if I don't kill the Nabi of Allah, if I don't kill Muhammad, then definitely he is going to kill me. His words are true. So he goes looking for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He tries to launch an attack against him. The Sahaba around him try to repel him. Eventually he comes close to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who takes a sword and then attempts to stab Ubay bin Khalaf. But the sword just grazes him, just a surface wound. And when this happens, he suddenly runs away screaming at the top of his voice and saying, Muhammad has killed me, Muhammad has killed me. His friends tell him that relax, this is just a graze, there's nothing to worry about, you are safe. But he has this yaqeen, this conviction. He gets onto his animal and he now turns back in the direction of Makkah Mukarramah in this panic, in this worry. Although people around him are telling him that don't worry, this is nothing serious and you can't die from a wound like this. Because of that panic, that worry, and of course the prophecy of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, en route to Makkah Mukarramah, he then passes away. But here ulama explain that we can understand if a mushrik, a disbeliever, had so much of conviction upon the words of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that if he says something it is true, then for us as people of iman, how much more conviction shouldn't we have? That every single statement of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is definitely true. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a complaint of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on the day of Qiyamah. And we know despite him being rahmatul lil alameen and so desirous of the iman of the people, but he will complain to Allah about something and he will say, Ya Rabbi, inna qawmi ittakhadhu hadha al-Qur'an mahjura. Oh my Rabb, my people took the Qur'an mahjura. Or rather, my people abandoned the Qur'an. They left the Qur'an. They didn't fulfill its rights. So here ulama explain what are the rights of the Qur'an al-Kareem. There's no time to go into all the details. But one is, of course, we have to believe in the Qur'an wholeheartedly, every single verse, every injunction. We mentioned the other day also regarding capital punishment that is mentioned in the Qur'an without any reservation in our hearts, that we firmly and wholeheartedly believe in this. Then, of course, recitation of the Qur'an al-Kareem. Now in the month of Ramadan, generally, people engage in tilawat. And then respect for the Qur'an. Many a times we find, unfortunately, in our homes, the Qur'an is just kept anyhow. Sometimes a domestic worker comes, and now in the month of Ramadan, we're making tilawat, we may leave the Qur'an somewhere. The domestic comes without wudu, without iman, and touches the Qur'an, packs it away. Ulama explain, when it comes to my child, on a cold day, then the mother, the father will ensure the child is wearing a vest, the child has a t-shirt, then the kurta, then a jacket. My child, the body must be protected. His health must be protected. But for our Qur'an, sometimes we don't even put it in an appropriate cover, in a juzdan. Sometimes that cover hasn't been washed for years. So for us to have azmat and respect for the Qur'an al-Kareem, it should not be that Nabi alayhi salam complains on the day of Qiyamah, and this complaint comes back to us. Al-Qur'anu hujjatun lak aw alayk. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Qur'an will either be a proof in your favor, it will argue in your favor in the court of Allah, or it will stand against you. It will stand and testify against you in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was Surah Al-Furqan. Thereafter we commenced with Surah Al-Shu'ara. Just one verse that we'll recite from Surah Al-Shu'ara. The Wajhu Tasmiyah. The reason behind the name of this particular surah. Towards the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Shu'ara. Shu'ara refers to the poets. And we find in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this was one of the mediums that was used to oppose Islam. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam started preaching Tawheed, then the Quraysh, who were masters of the Arabic language, they would then command their poets to compose poetry. insulting and degrading Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And this poetry was then recited publicly. And like this, we find the opposition to Islam took place. In a very similar way to how we have mainstream media today, perhaps not in the form of poetry, but we find propaganda against Islam, and that is then pushed out into the public domain, and like this, it paints Islam in a negative light. So the shu'ara, the poets of the past would do this. Here Allah speaks about them. وَالشُعَرَاءُ يَتَّبِعُهُمُ الْغَاوُونَ Allah says, the poets are such people that those who are deviated follow them. They run behind them, they want to listen to them, repeat what they say. أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّهُمْ فِي كُلِّ وَادِي يَهِيمُونَ Don't you see that they wander and they traverse every valley? What is meant by this is when it comes to speech, when it comes to exaggeration, when it comes to praise or dispraise, then they don't care who they are speaking about, what they are speaking about, but just to fit the scale of their poetry, they will say anything and everything. وَأَنَّهُمْ يَقُولُونَ مَا لَا يَفْعَلُونَ And they say such things that they themselves have not done. They make claims and they make statements, again, just to ensure that their poetry is composed correctly. So, from here we understand that poetry, in essence, is something that is not good. But then comes the exclusion, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Except those poets who have iman. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ They do righteous deeds. وَذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا And they remember Allah in abundance. وَانْتَصَرُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا ظُلِمُوا And they only take revenge after they have been oppressed. If they have to compose poetry against someone, it is only after that person has oppressed them. And like this, we had Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu anhu and others who would compose poetry in defense of Islam and the Muslims. Just one mas'ala, or rather one lesson that we learn from this, ulama explain, in today's time also when it comes to anashid, nazams, naats, the purpose is never entertainment. Many a times, unfortunately, we find, especially our youth, will listen to some nasheed or some naat or some nazam without even understanding the meaning just because of the tune. When we were in school, I know we had a person who would really enjoy a particular nasheed. In the Arabic language, this person had no knowledge of Arabic. And to this extent, he enjoyed it that he said that when I grow up and I get married, then this nasheed must be playing in my walima. So the alim said to him, that by please don't make this request, because this nasheed is only about death and maut, speaking about the qabr and the sand of the qabr, and you want this to be playing in your wedding. So from this we understand at times we don't even understand what the poet is saying, what the words are about, but we find those ashar, those nazams or naats in praise of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, praise of Allah, speaking about the deen of Allah. When a person understands the maqsad, the objective is the message. One alim had mentioned also, great sheikh of Qirat and Tajweed, that even when it comes to our recitation of Quran, one is to enjoy the tune, and this is also maqsood, this is also comes in the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, to read Quran beautifully. But very nicely he explained and said that the tune and the melody is just a carrier for the message of Quran. Likewise, when it comes to poetry, the main goal and objective is the message. It should take us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi.